WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening from Broadcast House. You are indeed tuned into Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi. And I am here to entertain you with my many different talents. I have no talents. I'm just here to talk with you and share information. I am the bringer of good information. Well, some of it's not all that good. But again, the idea is to have conversations, good, healthy conversation about some of the things that you might want to know or keep you in the know. Whether it's Omicron, that's the new variant, boys and girls. Are we ready for this? Or even talk about how things went for your Thanksgiving. We have a great lineup. We'll start things off in about 2 or 3 minutes with State Representative Allison Sullivan serving the 7th Plymouth District. Of course, we'll chat with her about a couple of different things. As you know, we give our state senators and state representatives, especially right here on the South Shore, an opportunity to showcase some of the things that they're doing, what they're working on, some of their concerns. And we'll do that today with the representative, find out how her Thanksgiving was, get a bird's eye view as to some of the legislation she may have in the works, how it's making it through the process or somewhere stalled in the process, as that might happen from time to time. And even talk a little bit about ARPA, because that's kind of a thing that's happening, knowing that not too long ago there were discussions in the House in regards to ARPA money. So we'll talk about that with her. Following the representative, we'll speak with a local business owner, Richard Rosen. We'll get an idea as to how Richard is doing his two establishments in downtown Whitman. Not only McGuigan's Pub, but the patio. See how things are going in regards to keeping the restaurant open. I know last time we chatted with him, he was like, he was concerned. We had Peter on last week, and we talked a little bit about how is it to be able to find help. And there are help wanted signs everywhere, but there's just not enough bodies to be able to inquire within about taking said open position. We'll talk with Richard about that and see if there's any big plans for the holidays for his two establishments. Hour number two, we'll speak with Victoria Bond and Paul Noonan from the True Repertory Theater. Remember, theater spelled with an R-E, not an E-R, as there are a couple of different productions that are ongoing. Most important is their version of A Christmas Carol. And what we'll do is we'll find out when that's going to hit the stage and how this version of A Christmas Carol may differ from the versions of A Christmas Carol that you are used to. So that'll be coming up in a few moments. And then we'll close things out on a musical note as we will speak with Murray Kidd. He is the artistic director for the Jubilate Chorale, and Paul Watson, who's a member of said chorale, as they got a big event coming up this Sunday, December 5th. We'll talk with them about that, and we'll even whet your appetite with a few samplings of their concert that they did back in 2019. Now, remember, it's been a year and a half since they've been able to be on the stage. They're giddy as all can be, so we'll talk with them about that.
People used to say Brennan's Smoke Shop was Plymouth Center's best kept secret. Why anyone would want to keep us a secret, I have no idea. Maybe it's because we've been selling pipes and bongs for 30 years.
Wow,
things have changed quite a bit. I like to think, however, how things have stayed the same. Brennan Smoke Shop, for instance, still selling pipes and bongs, tobacco and tobacco accessories. The only thing that has changed over here are the people. So many people over the years that have made our small business what it is today. This happy holiday is for you and all the people that work in small business across the country. Thank you for making the holidays great. Without you, this time of year would be nothing but a cardboard box. Happy holidays to all the people that make the holidays smashing. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts and now New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now in Hudson, New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older and proper ID is required.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Hey, we open up the radio program to our guests. We start off with the State House Report. It's the very staple that this radio show has been reworked over the past 10 years to give our state representatives, state senators, and when we can lure a constitutional officer to call in or be on the show, well, gosh darn it, we get them on too. But we're grateful to have some fantastic folks who serve right here on the South Shore, and they come in regular rotation. Sometimes they'll come in 2 weeks in a row, like Kathy LaNatra did. Or they'll come in a group, like Allison Sullivan and Joan Moschino and Kathy LaNatra did. Just how it happens. Joining us this week is Allison Sullivan, representing the 7th Plymouth District. Now, I used to know it as Abington, Whitman, and most of East Bridgewater, but I'm sure you're going to tell me that that has changed a little bit.
Just a little bit, Kevin. You know, it's still most of East Bridgewater, which is very nice.
Flipped around, right?
Yes. I unfortunately have lost Precinct 4 in East Bridgewater, but gained Precinct 1 in East Bridgewater. So Miles Heger is one of the constituents that I will be losing come next election, along with some family members as well.
Did he take it hard?
I think he took it real hard. I think he's looking at, you know, the maps and to see where he can move to. Right, Miles?
That's awesome. And Miles, of course, great representation for the Republican Town Committee.
Yes.
As he does yeoman's work to get the word out about all it is that local government does. Whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, it's great to have folks who are working. But that's sad. I'll have to have Miles on to find out how he's doing and how he is taking this. What does that mean by taking on that first precinct? Does it mean anything?
I mean, it's huge. It means something. You know, I'm losing some supporters, but gaining a whole, you know, another group of supporters. I do have a great support system in Precinct 1. I have family that lives in Precinct 1, which is always a bonus as well. And, you know, I've had communications with people that live in Precinct 1, and this is what I've told them from the very beginning of getting elected. I might only technically represent Precincts 2, 3, and 4, but I represent all of East Bridgewater at the State House, and I'll continue to represent all of East Bridgewater. To anyone in Precinct 4, they know my phone number, they know my email, and they're always welcome to reach out no matter what.
How was your Thanksgiving, and what was it like to be amongst family? Last year, it was probably we were a little bit more worried about being super spreaders and being careful who we were around.
Yes, you know, it was a lot different this year than it has been in many years past. Unfortunately, lost my grandfather at the beginning of this year. And so missing him at the head of the table is definitely a feeling that we all felt, but it was nice to be able to have the whole family back together, to have that dinner, to enjoy time with loved ones and family and friends. I think it was very important that a lot of us got that time because we've lost so much from 2020, and to be able to enjoy that, you know, peace of mind. You know, you got to continue to take precaution just because COVID is still a thing and it is still very active. But it was really nice to be able to just enjoy the family and in that moment. It was great. You know, I made my first blueberry pie, which, from what I'm being told, came out very nice. I have to thank Carol Julius for some of the recipes she sent over to me. And so it was definitely a great Thanksgiving.
Blueberry pie. My missus made her one of the first times she's made blueberry pie. Normally it's a fight. She's like, I got to make apple and I got to make banana cream pie. But she made a blueberry, and I was like, I was blown away.
Yeah. My father loves blueberry pie, so I wanted to do a little bit different. You know, they're hard to find in the stores. So I told my mother I'd attempt a blueberry pie. I can't guarantee it was going to come out great, but you know, my father and my uncle and my cousin enjoyed it, I believe, from the looks of it. My significant other does the apple pie. He does a great job on the apple pie.
Excellent. Thumbs up to George.
Yes.
So I have to, you know, we didn't escape the Thanksgiving holiday weekend without a little bit of a little bad news, and that is that there's a new variant in town. Omicron is its name. As a lawmaker, as somebody who, you know, you did yeoman's work during at the height of the pandemic in 2020. What has gone through your mind hearing the latest news that there's yet a new, you know, faster spreading variant of coronavirus?
Yes. So before I actually get into the coronavirus real quick, Matt Moratori just sent me a text message. Matt, I'll be sure to, you know, bake you a blueberry pie so you can try it out and let me know how it goes. But as far as the variant, you know, we as a Commonwealth and as a country suffered so much in 2020, and not just in the, you know, family values and what we had to give up and sacrifice, but also, you know, our small businesses. And, you know, this past Saturday was Small Business Saturday, and, you know, they're hurting, and they're not just hurting with financially, they're hurting to get staffers in. And because of that, it's, you know, they pride themselves on great service and great product, but when they don't have the staff to back that kind of promise up, it's very difficult for them. And you're seeing more and more restaurants, you know, not open 7 days a week and only open 4 or 5 days a week, or more and more restaurants that restrict seating, not because of the COVID variant or COVID itself, but because of the lack of staffing. And my thought when I hear another variant coming in is, you know, will there be another shutdown? Will there be, you know, these situations in place where people aren't, they're restricted on what they can and cannot do? And it's definitely a scary thought. Obviously, you got to worry about our hospitals and what that may do to our hospitals. But with a booster available to everyone over the age, I believe, of 18, it is 18 and older, is available. The vaccine itself is available for the younger age children, and just making sure we do what we need to do to make sure that we're stopping the spread, whether it be quarantine if you've been exposed or if you're positive, and continue to wash your hands and you know, refrain from hugging people outside your inner circle.
Yeah, it's interesting that knowing that it's something that we will, I mean, we've been warned by those who understand and have studied this virus that this might be something that is not going to go away.
Right.
And that we're going to have to treat this like, hopefully it'll be a lower resistance strain that we'll have to deal with, like a common cold, like the flu.
Right.
But right now, it's still taking lives.
Right. Well, unfortunately, with the virus, you're seeing people that have compromised immune systems having a differing effect on them. So I think people with those compromised immune systems have to take those extra precautions. You know, I have family members that are, you know, whether it be diabetic or going through cancer treatments, they make sure they take those extra precautions and make sure that they're protecting themselves and their families to minimize that risk. Unfortunately, you can't 100% guarantee you're not going to be exposed one way or the other. It's just trying to find those ways of minimizing it.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with State Representative Allison Sullivan, who is our guest for the State House Report segment. You know, we're talking COVID and knowing that one of the latest stimulus packages that have come from the federal government under the Biden administration is the American Rescue Plan Act funding. How important is this funding now, and what has been done up at the State House level to ensure that the money is distributed properly and spent properly?
You know, we had a debate several weeks ago around the ARPA funding, and we were encouraged to look at our districts and file amendments that would pertain to our districts and try to get as much pennies as possible out of, you know, almost, I think, a $9 billion kind of spending budget. But there was also big things that, you know, were going and that were already in place that were going to be going to the whole Commonwealth at large. So I filed several pieces of amendments that would focus in on Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater. I was able to secure some funding for all three towns, whether it be through me or through the Senate debate. So hopefully once it comes out of conference committee, we'll be able to secure those funds and really take that burden off the towns, what they've seen over the last, you know, year, 2 years from COVID.
Any indication when we could see it come out of conference committee? And
no. Well, the hope is, you know, hopefully the first of the year. We're unfortunately in, and I say unfortunately because there's a lot of important things that we do need to get through. We are on a seasonal break in the legislature, but they're still actively debating the ARPA funding, you know, whether it be in the conference committee itself or us reaching out to the members to make sure that we know that there's certain things that are in that budget that we need to make sure that it's satisfied.
I know that you've been very diligent, especially when it comes to domestic violence.
Yes.
I think it's one of those areas that you really have risen to the challenge to help with those who have to endure it. And if there are issues or loopholes, find ways to close them. Any of the legislation that you have filed, that you filed at the beginning of the year, any updates on any of those bills?
So my bills are still in committee. They're in front of judiciary, at least the ones that are specific in front of domestic violence. And the reason why I filed several of those pieces of legislation is because of during the pandemic, we saw a lot of people in limbo. And unfortunately, it was the opioid crisis, domestic violence, sexual assaults, you know, all these different resources, AA, you know, and making sure that we had meetings for these people that were struggling with substance use and violence. And what we saw during the pandemic is we forgot about those people. And so I think we need to revamp how our Commonwealth looks at these service providers, whether it be domestic violence or other service providers. And two key pieces of legislation that I filed is a study to study domestic violence in our service providers. And then another one is to do a permanent commission that would oversight over our domestic violence providers. Because what I also saw during the pandemic was not equal care across the board. And we have great resources here in the district and in the South Shore, and we have great, you know, advocates. And I have to give, you know, shout outs to them because those are our local warriors, right? Those are our local heroes that are stepping up when other people are shutting their doors and really helping people in need. And just because a pandemic hit the Commonwealth and, you know, the United States and the world, didn't mean that abusers weren't abusing anymore and substance use disorders weren't still active in that. So I think it's important that, and especially if we go into this new variant, we keep that in mind if we're ever going to come into another kind of shutdown or regulations and restrictions, because they need to be able to have the ability to assist when needed.
Have you had to testify for any of these to hopefully push it along in the judiciary?
So unfortunately, we haven't had a hearing yet. I'm still waiting on that. My intent is to testify and get as much support as I can, whether it be in the local resources that we use. I get the support from them. It's not that the resource centers don't want any type of regulations. We need to make sure where our message is clear when it comes to domestic violence. And I think sometimes that message gets lost in transaction, especially when politics is involved. So what they're there for is to help people in need, men, women, children, who are suffering every single day in a domestic violence situation.
Have you had a chance to, I'm sure you probably prior to filing the bills, grab statistics so when you needed to sit down and make your case, you could do so. Would you think that your information, if you did in fact do some studying to grab those numbers to say this is what we're seeing as a trend across the board, do you feel as though that those numbers have trended even further upward because of the pandemic?
Well, I think we don't even know the full scope of those numbers because of the pandemic. I mean, there were men and women and children ready to flee abusive situations, but we didn't have places to put them. So those numbers are skewed because of a pandemic. We don't know the full extent of this. You think about children that were left at home that didn't have the school system in place to keep an eye on these children that are living in abusive situations. Luckily, during the pandemic, I checked in with my police chiefs, my fire chiefs, and my advocacy programs to say, what are we doing? Even our superintendents, and they all identified those children in need, right? Because they know those families. They know them because they respond to their homes, or whether the teacher knows of situations that they really can't put their finger on it. They know who they need to keep an eye on. But unfortunately, without having a student right in front of you, it's really hard to really break that control from an abuser. So there were steps put in place during a pandemic, but I think it's just the beginning, and it's just like the opioid crisis. Those numbers are going up, but I think it's just the beginning on seeing how this pandemic has really affected these people, and domestic violence survivors included.
Yeah, if we could just quickly touch upon the opioid epidemic. I mean, it seemed as though Plymouth County especially was turning a corner prior to the pandemic, and we're seeing a downturn.
Right.
Give me your thoughts as to, because of the pandemic, that, you know, we're probably seeing all of that hard work done by the many folks, not only legislators like you, but the folks who are in public safety and medical care.
The folks that have the boots on the ground,
right.
You know, active survivors in the sense of active recovery from the opioid crisis and just any substance use disorders. Unfortunately, meetings were put on halt. You don't get the same type of feeling as you do through a Zoom call as you would in person, especially when you're in active recovery. Isolation was a big piece in some of the people that relapsed. We've seen a number of deaths in around the opioid crisis and any type of substance use disorders, and the increase of fentanyl during this pandemic and fake pills that are circulating our school systems. I mean, it is just, we are not even seeing the tip of the iceberg at this point, you know, and it's scary to think what we're going to see in the coming years around this epidemic, how it's going to affect our children and the younger age kids going forward. But hopefully with active, you know, coalitions in each town, we'll be able to get through it. And we have great resources and people within the towns that are ready and willing to help.
Probably the last thing I'd ask you is knowing that the South Shore folks love to come together. What are you looking forward to this coming holiday season, whether it's attending certain events in your communities or just being able to be amongst family and friends?
I think all the above, right? You know, we're having the Christmas parade in East Bridgewater on Saturday, which is very exciting because we didn't have that last year. And then we're going to have the different events in Abington this year, which is going to be very exciting. And I know Whitman does their toy drive, which hopefully is a big turnout. They're going to have the Pack the Cruiser come this. Yeah,
Donnie, you know, Westhaver and his gang. Yep.
Yep. You know, Pack the Cruiser / Pack the Ambulance on this Saturday as well. So it's just exciting to see so many things coming back to somewhat quote unquote normal, right? You know, this normal life that we had in 2019, and really getting that back and seeing the community come together, because we just had the Veterans Day, you know, parade in Abington, and it was so great to see so many
beautiful
people come out. It was a beautiful day.
Mm.
It was a little bit chilly at the beginning of it, but it was a beautiful day, and I'm really looking forward to that in hopes that we can get back to normal.
Yeah, you know, you feel the holiday season. I was actually driving by the police station and took a look to the left as I was heading towards the high school.
The tree?
And they're putting the tree up.
Yep.
That big old tree.
Yep.
Getting it ready for this weekend.
And it's exciting.
Abington celebrates in their dozens of events that they'll have, including Santa Claus, and if you have an animal,
and all that. So it's something for the town and surrounding towns to look forward to, and I'm myself looking forward to it.
If your constituents want to reach out to you, if they have something, anything that we talked about this evening might have resonated with them, they just want to reach out to you for something else, how can they do that?
Yeah, of course. You know, Facebook is always a quick and easy way to get in touch with me. You know, it's State Representative Allison Sullivan. Also, my email is another very quick and efficient way. It's allison.sullivan@mahouse.gov. Feel free to reach out in any way. But I also want to wish the Abington football team good luck on their Super Bowl. I know they're going against Rockland, and I hope for a great game. And congratulations to make it this far and have it at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I see this technically as a revenge game for Coach Kelleher, because earlier this year in October, he played his 500th game. And who did he play it against?
Was it Rockland?
You played it against Rockland.
There you go.
And, well, the results weren't exactly what Coach wanted, but I think
he has a great team. You know, he's doing a fantastic job.
He does. This is a special team, and we'll definitely look forward to it. But we are just waiting for my producer to get back into the booth as we could take ourselves a little bit of a break. And again, if you are just tuning in, you can always check out our podcast. We do our best to put our podcast up easy enough. You can go to 959WATD.com is the way to find all of our latest podcasts. And we will definitely make sure that we keep them up to date. So again, you are tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 959WATD. And we'll be back in just a few seconds with Richard Rosen.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
An upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
If you want a drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, that's for Alcoholics Anonymous.
AA is an inclusive fellowship of individuals all around the world. The one thing you need to ask yourself is, am I ready to do something about my drinking problem? For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, go to AA.org. To find a meeting near you, call 617-426-9444 or visit aaboston.org.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back. Time for us to give a little love to one of our premier sponsors here on Monday Night Talk. None other than Mr. Richard Rosen, proprietor of not only McGuigan's Pub, but the patio at McGuigan's. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
And I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I did. What did the Rosen family do for the holidays?
We went away, and we had the whole family together. It was really great. As you know, I'm a new grandfather, so it's kind of cool. We had a great week. And now I'm here in this cold weather. It's terrible.
Oh. Well, I think we might have somebody who wants to say hi to you just super quick.
I just wanted to say congratulations on the grandchild. That's very exciting.
Well, thank you very much.
And I hope you had a great holiday and staying warm now that you're back in the cold weather.
Oh, God. And it's only going to get worse. You know, you'll find out someday when you get a little bit older. Just how horrible it is when you get older.
You know, that's what every older person tells me, but I enjoy the snow. I was born in February. I think I was made for the snow and the cold weather.
Yeah, well, I was born in December, and I was not made for this weather.
Well, Mr. Rosen, I hope you have a great holiday if I don't talk to you.
And same to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Again, that was Allison Sullivan, Representative Allison Sullivan, saying hello to one of her constituents, Richard Rosen. How are things at the pub? How are things at the patio these days?
They're actually really, really well. The way that I'm looking at this, Kevin, is anybody that has survived in the restaurant business to this point is doing really well. Let me put it this way, as well as can be expected under the circumstances. Mm. I mean, we still don't have 100% seating in the patio. We're close, and we're close to 100% in the pub. But things are getting back to normal. People are out. People want to go out. People want to go out and eat and drink. We've actually brought back entertainment to a point. You know, the pub has, believe it or not, Kevin, on December 9th, the pub will have been open 12 years.
Wow.
I know, it doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't.
And we had a pretty good takeout business before the pandemic. And then, as you know, we stayed open only for takeout for the entire pandemic. We had 13 people on payroll the whole time. And the takeout business has continued to be really, really, really strong at the pub. And it's you know, better at the patio. I can't complain right now of the way that things are. It could be a lot worse.
So I would, you know, as I was talking with the representative early on in our conversation, just, you know, about 15 minutes ago, I did ask her her thoughts on the latest variant, Omicron, that they're saying, you know, it's, you know, we're all worried, we're all nervous, because it's the unknown. We don't know how deadly this is, how contagious this will be, how quickly it will spread, and it's already had an effect on Wall Street, seeing that, it, you know, Wall Street, now I don't know what happened today, if there was a rebound or not, and I've been busy, so I've had a chance to see if there was a rebound, but people are already nervous. The president has already discussed what will happen, you know, in regards to, we will not allow certain, you know, and, you know, individuals from these particular countries. It's already beginning again. As a business owner, what goes through your, what is going through your mind? Because you've not only went through what we went through last year in 2020 in March and April, you endured, you were able to get through the Delta variant. What goes through your mind now? Is it a matter of, all right, just a wait and see what happens? Or is it a matter of, uh-oh, are we going to see things close down like we did in March of 2020?
Well, as the president said today, be concerned, but don't panic. Obviously, we're concerned. The last thing in the world I want to see is having to close down again. it's not a good thing to have happen. I think if the vaccine that we are currently taking, that I would hope everybody in the world would take and then get their booster, works, yes, there are these breakout cases where people get sick, but they're not dying like they were. I have to believe that most people, especially in Massachusetts, or a good portion of them, are vaccinated. Mm. I'm praying that that this new variant, that the vaccine beats it off, because we can't close again. I mean, you know, I would sustain, I'll be okay, but another whole wave of businesses will go under. And it's just not a good thing to have happen. Am I going to dwell on it? No. I'm not going to panic. We're going to continue on. And as you know, the way that I've run these restaurants has been pretty strict when it comes to masks, although we don't require masks now. I would say almost all of my employees are vaccinated, if not all of them. Mm. Some of them, however, have little kids and they'll wear masks because they're concerned. We, again, don't have 100% seating, so it's still roomy. But I don't even want to think about that right now. I want to move on and think about other things.
Well, let's talk about what's the latest. Are you ready for the holidays? Are you going to do anything special, whether it's with McGuigan's, the patio, or both?
So, you frequent the patio.
I do.
And the pub occasionally. I don't think I'm lifting the curtain on something that I shouldn't be. And I'm going to give you some breaking news right now.
Go ahead.
Our 22-foot Christmas tree went up today. Our employees don't even know that this thing is going up. When they come in tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we are going to have our 22-foot Christmas tree and those giant wreaths hanging from the giant wreaths will be hanging from the ceiling, and the tree is up. And my daughter spent all day decorating it. My guys put the tree up, and I was just in there, and it looks really, really good.
Now I know that when it was up a couple of years ago, that the bulbs only went to a certain point. Did you have somebody to get that point between, you know, the upper part of the
it's
tree?
Handled. We even have a topper on the tree.
Nice.
It looks really, really good. It's the entire tree is done. And, you know, that tree kind of took on a life of its own. We mm-hmm. had people wanting to turn it into a Valentine's Day tree.
Holiday
and then
tree.
A St. Patrick's Day tree. Yeah, it was a holiday tree.
It was a holiday tree.
So, I mean, I just gave up a table to put the tree in, but it's worth it. You know, it's one of those things to try to get back to normal. So I did reduce my capacity by 4, but it's okay. It's because it's worth it to see the tree. You know, yesterday, one of my managers said to me, when's the tree going up? And I looked at him because nobody knew, and I'm like, what do you mean? Why would you ask that? She goes, you have no idea how many people are asking if the tree's going back up. And it's up. So this is breaking news that the 22-foot tree is up. It's decorated, and it's going to look pretty cool. We're not doing anything special that we've announced yet. We have an anniversary coming up in a couple weeks that we haven't... This is the first time I've even talked about it.
Very it's definitely interesting, and I'm going to say this, and I was waiting for you to talk about, you know, the tree, people wanting it to be more than a Christmas tree, but like an annual holiday tree that whatever time of year. And I think up until COVID, which forced you to take it down and try to utilize your space in the patio the best that you could, but I thought Danielle and the staff did a fantastic job at converting whatever February, you know, Valentine's Day, March, St. Patrick's Day, as you said, April, it was something else. It was, you always finding different ways. You always, as a business owner, have done a fantastic job with your, you know, whether it's McGuigan's Pub and different ways that you can reach out to the community to draw them in, whether it's, you know, having a 90-foot Irish flag or putting on windows that will open up. You're always thinking, you're always ahead of the curve to make your businesses that much more different. It's not stagnant.
So, I don't know if you've been in the center at night in the last couple of weeks, but we have our lights on the pub, the patio, the church across the street, and another building that I own up the street. So Whitman Center now looks, it looks like it's ready for Christmas. It looks really, really cool in the center.
Well, this is, you're also the same person who many, many years ago, you know, led a group of folks who wanted to put up lights in downtown Whitman, creating an event that was only supposed to happen one year. And I'm talking Winterfest. Now everybody is trying to, you know, Winterfest their communities and have multiple events and find a way to make it where it's a town or community wide. It doesn't surprise me that the downtown Whitman is lit up and glowing with holiday ambiance.
Yeah, it is, and it looks really, really cool. I got a frog in my throat. It looks really, really cool, and I'm glad to do it because it brings out that spirit. You know, if anything that we need some good spirit these days, and we try to help doing that. You know, the one thing I did do is we suspended brunch at the patio. You and I had talked about this before. Mm-hmm. After we opened, we went back and we started doing brunch, and we did it for a few weeks. And, you know, I've always said, if you can't do something right, don't do it. And it wasn't just right. I mean, we're opening at 11:30, but we suspended brunch. Of course, you can still get those insane Bloody Marys with bacon and antipasto and shrimp and all that stuff in them. But the actual brunch has been suspended. I think we're going to bring it back after the first of the year.
Oh, good. This is my confession to you, Father Richard. And that is that I cheated on the patio yesterday, me and the missus. I'm not going down alone. I'm taking her with me. We actually went across the way up here in Marshfield, Cask and Flag, and it was okay. It wasn't the patio, and it's not that what they serve over at the Cask and Flag is not good. It was good. It just isn't. It wasn't the patio and the ambiance and, you know, the menu that you know I'm accustomed to. And you know, before that, a couple of weeks prior to that, we went to the Omelet Factory, and they're okay. We enjoy the Omelet Factory too, but it's not the patio.
It will be back. It will be back. And we've now reintroduced, you know, we introduced a lunch menu at the patio and then had to close like 3 weeks later. We literally had just started lunch and then had to close. So we just revamped the lunch menu, and it is we're now serving off a lunch menu. And we're open right now Thursday through Sunday at 11:30. And then the pub is open Friday through Sunday at 11:30. But we have a new brunch menu, lunch menu, I'm sorry. And people, this time of the year, people start coming out earlier in the day. And we've brought back our Guinness beef stew at the pub. And I will guarantee you, you cannot get a better homemade Guinness beef stew than what we have at the pub. It's really, really outrageous.
Well, let's not forget the shepherd's pie either. That's, you know, don't turn your nose up to that either.
No, but we have the shepherd's pie all the time. And the Guinness beef stew, it's one of those comfort food things that you bring in, you know, for 4 or 5 months a year. The representative was talking about she likes cold. Well, if you like cold, you have to have comfort food. So, hence, we have the Guinness beef stew. And we have now started our gift card special. So if you buy a $50 gift card, we give you a $5 gift card free. So every increment of 50, you get another 5. So that has now started. And, you know, we're trying to get in the holiday spirit. And I'm kind of excited for when the employees come in tomorrow at 4 o'clock that they see the tree lit up. So...
But
it's a nice surprise.
See, stuff like that, that stuff like that's important. And I think that helps cultivate, I don't know, a positive working atmosphere. You know, you're in the festive mood. You know, I would get in a festive mood if I had a 22 foot Christmas tree in the background as I'm, you know, serving folks and working the tables.
Absolutely. It's fun. You know, both our restaurants are a fun place, and we like to keep it that way. And we like to keep the food good.
You and I have had conversations, and what has it been like, you know, finding staff? I mean, is it still a struggle for yourself and other business owners? I know you're a member of a local chamber of commerce. Is this something that you're all still dealing with and that you're finding new ways to be able to welcome folks to come as a source of employment and career?
So the answer is we still need people. We need cooks. I could use a couple. I could use another manager. We need busboys, barbacks, hostesses. And when I say we need them, we don't need 10 of them, but we need one of these and two of these. And it's difficult because it's just different. And it isn't just the restaurant industry, which is getting clobbered. It's you can't get sheetrockers, and you can't get plumbers, and you can't get electricians, and you can't get truck drivers. I mean, the world is broken. I mean, there's just, for a guy that's the biggest optimist in the world, I hate to say this, but the world is broken. I think it's on its way to recovery, but where all the employees have gone, I don't know. I mean, people think I'm crazy when, you know, they wouldn't allow immigrants into the country. Well, a lot of those immigrants did a lot of the jobs that we need right now. I don't want to go down that political road, but that, to me, is part of the problem. Part of the problem was we were giving people money to stay home. That's ended. So, you know, we got to have these people come back out and go to work. And, you know, we're hiring like everybody else. You know, you drive down the street. If I drove from Whitman to Marshfield to where you are right now, I'll bet you I would pass 5 establishments that have help wanted signs up. I saw a local establishment in Hanson tonight post that they were only open for takeout because of a staffing issue. I mean, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the staffing issue was part of, you know, was part of the suspending brunch for a while. But yeah, it's a problem.
Richard, if folks want to, if they want to indulge not only in your takeout menu but also when you are open for McGuigan's or the patio, how can they do that?
So the pub's telephone number is 781-447-7333, and the website is www.mcguigan'spub.com. And at the patio, it's 781-447-2525, and it's the patio at mcguigan'spub.com. And by the way, our episode has aired twice now on Phantom Gourmet in patio, and it's well-received.
Well, Richard, again, I want to thank you not only for being a great business owner, but also being a great supporter of this particular radio program that you once hosted.
Which, by the way, I'm available again. Whenever you need me, I'm available.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. we'll have to have you. We'll have to have you come in studio soon. Okay.
I'll do it, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. There he is, Richard Rosen, proud owner of not only McGuigan's Pub, but the patio. And, oh, my gosh, that's it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. You know what that means? There's more on deck. Hour number two of Monday Night Talk, straight ahead, right here on 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck! Snap back or rock! Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, later in this hour, Murray Kidd, Artistic Director for Jubilate Chorale, and Paul Watson, one of the ensemble members, going to be here to talk about their upcoming Celtic concert in Brockton this coming Sunday, December 5th. Stay tuned for that. Bottom of the hour, but right now we have Victoria Bond.
Hello, darling.
And Paul Noonan. They're both here from True Repertory Theater. Of course, theater with an R-E, of course, boys and girls. And we're here to talk about some of the upcoming productions that are basically in Tech Week. Right?
Yes.
That's what A Christmas Carol is in Tech
yes,
Week?
It yes. Is.
Fun.
Yeah. Yes,
and then other productions that are in the works and that we want folks to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, good. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for having us.
I know. I'm a big fan of arts and entertainment, theater. I've done a little bit of theater in the past. Not very well, but I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
One day I'm going to get you on stage.
Yes, if you have something that's called ensemble, I'll find my way in the back of it.
Actually, I think we may.
Actually, we do. Yeah. Absolutely. There may be some room in Auntie Mame for you, my friend.
We'll see.
Uh-huh. We'll see.
Okay. A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's going to be happening, this coming Friday? Saturday, Sunday, and then the fall. Oh, actually, hold on.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, and there's no Sundays, correct? Or is there one Sunday? There is.
Two Sundays.
Two Sundays, but the only difference is that instead of an 8 o'clock curtain call, you have matinees at 3 o'clock on the 5th and the 12th of December.
Correct.
Yes. Correct.
I think everybody, when it comes to, we all know what A Christmas Carol is.
Yes.
But I think everybody always tries to find their own adaptation of it, or they want to find a way to make it newer and fresher. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, and we've done that, essentially.
Yes, yeah. This is actually, True Rep has been working on an adaptation of Dickens' A Christmas Carol for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collaboration between Jim Sullivan, who is a playwright and a member of the company, and Donald Sheehan, who is the artistic director of the company.
Correct.
So they have come up with their own adaptation, which they'll be breaking loose this Friday.
Breaking loose. go ahead. Were you going to say something, Paul?
I think it runs about an hour.
Yep.
Runs about an hour. Excellent cast.
It's an 8-member cast.
Rather small.
They play 30 roles. These eight actors are playing 30 roles.
Yeah.
There is some music in this show. There's some songs. There'll be some songs that people will know. There'll be some songs that people will be hearing for the first time. So it's a nice mix of storytelling as well as music. There's some dance in it. It's kind of an all-around, evening.
Mm. They've been very creative with the way that they've set this show, partly on the floor, partly on the stage. I think people will really enjoy it. It's, if they're used to A Christmas Carol, they'll get that flavor, but it's that much different as well to be unique to us.
And again, this takes place at the Beale House in Kingston. You were going to say something?
Well, I was actually just going to mention the names of the actors.
Please do.
There's Joan Cogliano, Delaney Cranes, Lindsay Mahia, Leo Mahia, Jim Sullivan, Rob Buckle-Gillis, Emily Waystack, Donald Sheehan, Anthea Diamond, Elaine D'Angelo is the pianist, and we have Michael Duarte, who is taking on the role of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Wow.
And he is also our resident set designer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Multitasking is at its best.
Yes.
For sure.
But you have eight people who are going to play 30 different roles.
Yes. Yeah. I just left the theater before coming here, and in talking to Donald, he's taken on, I believe, 4 roles himself.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he's directing. So that's pretty much everybody's wearing many hats, figuratively and literally.
Talk to me about the... I know maybe sometimes I overemphasize this when I speak to folks who do local theater.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to me about the importance of community theater, Paul.
Well, I find that people that do enjoy going to theater, myself being one of them, the options are sometimes not there, unless you want to go into the city or to a regional production that maybe just isn't affordable for a family. What we do at True Rep is we offer, I would say, unique quality theater at a very reasonable price. And it's a great option for people on the South Shore, some of which don't know that we're there. Because we've only been in Kingston for a few years now.
Yeah.
And we're just really trying to let people know that we're there, and because we know that they'll enjoy themselves. Yeah. It's a really good take. Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah.
Do you want to say something?
Oh, what about
were you going to kind of add on to what Donald Paul's saying? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, listen. I think that we're very wrapped up in current times with sort of defining the differences between people, and I think that theater, provides the opportunity to sit in the dark with total strangers and find common ground. You find the same things that you're laughing at. Mm. You find the same things that make you cry. It is coming together. Community theater, it is the most vital thing, I think, that a community can have and offer to, its people. So I do hope that people will come in and join us, because theater heals. It really does. I believe that.
It's a bit of an escape.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you could sit down and knowing that what we have all endured as a society over the past 20 months and knowing that there's another looming threat. We don't know what quite it is. Is it just going to be just another new variant of town? Let's see what this one has. Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be like, oh, my God, we're all going to have to wrap ourselves up as mummies and wear masks and talk to each other from 10 feet away? Or is it a matter that we could come together and be able to entertain, as you said, laugh together, cry together, at a performance like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and we follow all COVID guidelines in terms of seating, masks.
Yep, all the seating, you're seated by group, you know, so if you're coming to the theater with, you know, five other people, the six of you will be seated together, and then your six seats will be distanced by 6 feet from the next set mm-hmm. of seats. And everyone must wear masks while they're in the space.
Now, my understanding that there's also a give-back component to this in regards to being able to, you know, donate and help others. Is it not like a charitable arm of True Repertory Theater?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So Donald Sheehan, who is the artistic director mm-hmm. For True Rep Theater and founder, he created Project 719. He actually needed a kidney transplant, and he received his kidney transplant on July 19th. So he created Project 719, which is the vehicle he uses to give back to the community. So, you know, we just did Into the Woods over the summer. We raised, you know, money and awareness for ALS. So, yeah, that is, if you want to jump in here.
Paul. Yeah, with every show we do, we try to be philanthropic in some way. Mm-hmm. We did a toy drive last year around Christmas time that was very successful. We plan on doing that again.
Yep.
What we've also started incorporating into our shows are our gift baskets. The last one we did was a fall seasonal type thing. Mm-hmm. We plan on doing another.
As well as
50-50 raffles, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we collect canned goods at this production as well. So people can bring canned goods, and we'll get them over to the food pantry, or you can bring unwrapped toys. We're working with the local Kingston Fire Department in their Toys for Tots drive. So. Mm-hmm.
What a fantastic idea, you know, knowing the story of A Christmas Carol and the main character and his, give me nothing, to, you know, at the end, you know, can't give enough. Mm-hmm. This is a fantastic way to kind of put a punctuation on a program like this.
Sure is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the tickets are only $20 for general admission, $17 for seniors and students. I don't know that we mentioned that, but it's very affordable.
Very. Yeah.
And again, let's make sure we let them know. Happening at the Beale House, right? Starting this Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. shows. Sunday, the 5th, is a 3 p.m. matinee. Mm-hmm. And then it's the following weekend, following Friday and Saturday, as well as Sunday at 3 p.m. as well, which is the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Tickets can be purchased at the door, but folks are also encouraged to go online.
Yes, True Rep Theater, theater with an R-E, .com. You can buy tickets through our website as well as through our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We have an event posted on Facebook as well for it. So hopefully we'll reach a good number of people. Yeah. That's the hope.
Again, we're speaking with Paul Noonan and Victoria Bond from True Repertory Theater, talking about some of their productions. We've already kind of given you information about the upcoming event later this week. Victoria, tell me about this production that is close to your heart.
Oh, so, all right. Well, yeah. So we're going to be... all right. I swear I do. So, Auntie Mame is a show that I am very, I feel very deeply personal. It's a personal show to me. My mother and I shared that show. We, you know, most people know Auntie Mame, the movie starring Rosalind Russell. Very funny movie. My mother and I used to watch it all the time and just bust out laughing. And it's a show that my mother always wanted me to do. She kept, you know, always would say, when are you going to do Auntie Mame? When are you going to do Auntie Mame? When are you going to do Auntie Mame? And I, you know, kept saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's a big show to take on. So unfortunately, my mother passed away in 2020. So I'm going to be doing Auntie Mame in May in honor of my mother. And we'll be raising some money for dementia and research. I don't know what organization yet, as well as raising some money for the hospital that cared for my mother, which was Beth Israel Deaconess Plymouth Lehi Hospital. They had an elder care unit there that was just really fantastic and took great care of my mother up until the very end. So, Yeah, so that's it is deeply personal to me.
So right now, is there works to try to raise money to do this particular production?
Yes. Yeah, so this show, because it is a big show, we're actually going to be doing it as a co-production between Ooh. Rogue Theater Company, which I founded and am a part of, and True Rep. So, and that we're scheduled to do it in May. So, absolutely, we are raising money. If you want to donate specific to MAME, you can donate to Rogue Theater Company, roguetheatercompany.com, theater with an R-E, or you can donate to True Rep. And, you know, if you want it earmarked specific to MAME, you can do that, or just donate generally. The theater company would appreciate it. So.
And I'm not sure if you mentioned this, Victoria, but Auntie MAME goes up on May 13th.
Yes, it
which
does.
Which is a Friday.
Yep.
Runs the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and then the following week, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Yep.
Correct?
Absolutely okay. Correct.
So
yep.
Tell us what is, for folks who don't know Aunt MAME, Auntie MAME. What is the storyline
so
to
Auntie
it?
So Auntie MAME is the play was inspired by a book. It's the story of Patrick Dennis, who's a young boy who is orphaned, and he goes to live with his Auntie MAME in New York City, and she is a kind of wild and wacky woman. She's very much someone who grabs life with both hands. She likes to say that, life's a banquet and most poor suckers are starving to death. she's she lives with a lot of passion. It inspired a book. He wrote a book about her, and then it became a play, and then, it became a movie. It was also made into a musical. So it was a very popular show. And it's very funny. It's a great comedy. It's, it's a huge cast of characters, and it's a lot of fun.
Hmm. Yeah, my understanding, doing a little bit of research on this thing called Wikipedia, is that actually, it was adapted from the novel for the stage. That this actually had it was nominated for in the late 50s for Tony Awards,
yep.
and even won an award.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
which is fantastic.
Oh yeah,
it's a great show.
It's a fantastic show. I mean, it really is. It's a fantastic show.
Now, when do you begin casting for it?
We've already started casting.
Of course,
I mean, we've already.
You don't wait for this.
No, I'm not waiting. And I will tell you, True Rep does work in that way. True Rep is a company of actors, the actors that are involved commit to, a certain number of shows per season, so we have cast
a stable of talent.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we have cast the show, both with True Rep. The company True Rep and some actors outside of True Rep, because it's a very big show. So
I would ask you, Paul, what's it like having these two organizations collaborate on a production like this?
Well, I think it's a beautiful thing. Number one, knowing that Victoria founded Rogue Theater Company, but came on to ultimately be a part of True Repertory Theater. Not that Rogue went away. It was always still kind of there.
We downshifted.
Yeah, downshifted. Switch gears
a
little bit.
Hiatus.
Yeah. We did. We
parked
did.
It on this curb.
We did.
But the beautiful thing is it allows us...
Quarantined for a wee bit.
It kind of allows us to bring Rogue Theater back into the spotlight a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it also, in terms of resources and, utilizing some folks that Victoria used to work with at Rogue and bringing them in for this production, I think it does nothing but add to it, really.
Well, and it's nice to have sort of, Natalie West, who's somebody who was a founding member of Rogue Theater Company, is coming back to direct Auntie MAME. And it's nice to have sort of the True Rep Company experience different directors. Mm. Because Donald does a lot of the directing for True Rep. He does enjoy having somebody else come in from time to time because, it gives him a break and it lets him just act. But it's also, it's good for the company as a whole. It's good for an actor to be directed by a variety of people. To get a sense of how other directors, to work in different ways. It kind of stretches you as an actor.
Mm-hmm. Now, how soon will you begin doing
rehearsals,
read-throughs, blocking for Auntie MAME?
I would say March.
We are fitting one show in between A Christmas Carol and Auntie Mame.
Yes,
so,
we are.
A little bit of a tall order.
Oh, so, and I think that Paul just did a clever segue.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
So what is the filler in this sandwich of shows?
The filler is called Ellen's Boys.
Okay.
And Ellen's Boys was written, Victoria had mentioned this, by Jim Sullivan, who's mm-hmm. from Braintree. He is a playwright, but he's also an actor with our company. An excellent actor. Mm-hmm. And he wrote Ellen's Boys. We actually did a table read of Ellen's Boys. We were planning on doing a staged reading, and then COVID hit. So now we've shifted, and now we're making it a staged performance. It's a great show.
A full production of it,
yeah. Ultimately, what it's about is Ellen is an Irish Catholic widow with three boys, and she's always been controlling and under control. And this play kind of...
Irish Catholic in Dorchester.
We might want to add that.
Yes, it's very specific, and it kind of gives you exactly what you need to know.
Okay.
And she tries to give up some of that control, and it doesn't always go so well. But it's a great show. I think there's eight of us? I think there's about eight cast members.
Ellen, there's her daughter. Yeah, it's got to be about eight. Yep. Mm. I think there's three sons, right? So four, yep, five. Yeah.
But it really is a great show, and it's great that it's a local playwright that we're kind of spotlighting with it and putting him in our schedule.
Yeah, and it's a chance for the audience to see something completely new.
And that's fantastic. You're taking from someone who you were within the troupe and saying, hey, I think that gives Jim some confidence, like going, hey, they really want to really go the full length of this and rehearse it and put it out there for folks to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say he's thrilled.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Now, is this a non-musical production, or is there a little song and dance in there somewhere?
I don't think there's too much song and dance in this.
Yeah, it's a play. Okay. It's a straight play.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good play. It really is. Actually, it's a very good play. He's a good playwright.
Oh, and if I could just give the dates that goes up.
Sure.
So Ellen's Boys will be going up in March. It's Friday, March 18th. 19th and 20th, and then the following weekend, 25th, 26th, and 27th, and that's March.
Now, are all of these dates that we have mentioned since we started some 22 minutes ago, is all this information on that little nifty website that
sure
we
is.
Mentioned?
Okay. Sure
yes,
is.
It is. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
What is it that you need from the public? Is other than them to attend this, is there ever any time that you look for certain things from the community that they can help?
Oh, we're always looking.
Okay.
We always need
things. This is your opportunity. You're on a microphone to say,
I'll tell you
what, we could use.
The biggest thing that we are looking for and the biggest hope that we have, and it's a big one and it's a tall order, we are looking for a permanent space. If people have eyes out there and see something that they think maybe somewhere down the road could be a theater, please let us know about it.
Yeah.
Because we love where we are. The Beale House is fantastic, and they've been wonderful to us. But we really do want to try and find a committed space that's just our own, because it can be difficult to share a space. We also always take volunteers. Anybody out there who has any kind of sewing skills or, knows anything about costuming.
Love a theater.
Just loves theater and wants to be around it, or maybe likes to stage manage or, work with props or work backstage. Or if you're an actor and you have an interest in getting on the stage, contact us. And, we do hold auditions for company members. So we're always looking for actors. We're always looking for volunteers of all sorts. So if you absolutely.
And to piggyback on that, I would say another tall order for us is to ultimately just get the word out that we're there, that we're in Kingston. Mm-hmm. We've been there for over 2 years. Mm-hmm. Even when we do find a new space, we hope it's in the vicinity, somewhere on the South Shore, but in the vicinity, Kingston, Plymouth, Pembroke. Mm-hmm. And we just want people to know about us, because we know that it's quality theater. It's something that you may see at a regional theater, but it's community, it's company theater, and to me, it's more affordable, but just as good. Mm-hmm. And we just need people to know about us.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many does the Beale House, or how many can you have at any one particular production?
I know that the way that they've set up the stage for A Christmas Carol, it will accommodate probably 50 to 60.
Okay.
We would love to fill those seats every night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah. But based on the COVID guidelines, separating the seats in groups, that kind of thing, probably 50 to 60.
It does put a dent in how many people you can put into the space. So, but yeah. And again, you know, the Christmas Carol coming up next weekend, it's an hour long, but it's a packed hour.
Hours are a great runtime.
It really is.
Especially with kids. You know,
fantastic.
And
absolutely.
Especially, you know, at Christmas time, everybody's busy. Sure. You're shopping. But this is an opportunity, especially for the family. This is a great family outing. It's a great family fair.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. We hope people will come out for it.
Yeah, hours. I did Annie, and it was 2 hours. We got the intermission at, like, you know, 70 minutes. It's like, is this thing over yet?
Yeah.
Not that it was a bad show, but it's like 2 hours. It's kind of like an hour. It's like you're in and out.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Bring a toy. You know, bring some food to help somebody, help others. Project 719.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Anything that we haven't touched upon, we just got 2 or 3 minutes left here. Anything we haven't touched upon, any rock that we have not unearthed to look under that we need to tell these folks in regards to any of the productions that we've shared with the audience or that we want to maybe reemphasize about one of the productions?
Hmm. I don't believe there's anything we've missed. I don't.
One thing I would add, just for
Paul got it.
Well, Victoria already mentioned it, but where Christmas Carol is a Christmas Carol adaptation, or a true rep adaptation of A Christmas Carol, and Donald and Jim Sullivan worked very hard on adapting that. I think that people who come out will see some of A Christmas Carol that they're used to, but see some other things that they're not in a great way. And to see an original adaptation, come out to True Rep and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't want to tell you because then, you know, we want you to come and be surprised.
Spoiler alert.
It's, you know, and it's probably great whether you're somebody who's behind the scenes helping, whether you're collecting tickets or helping folks to see a light come on and go, I get what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the fun part of being a part of it, whether you're on stage or if you're somebody who's off stage and who's mm-hmm. assisting with moving set pieces and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming here. One of which you, break a leg if you're going to be working any of these particular performances that we have mentioned. And once again, go to the website, www.TrueTrueRepTheater. I'll spell it for you, okay? TheaterE.com. That's all the things that we talked about this particular segment, you will find on that website, whether you want to see A Christmas Carol, whether it's Ellen's Boys, mm-hmm. which is going to be following this, or Auntie Mame. You'll be able to find all those information. And remember, you don't have to drive all the way into Boston, spend all that money to park. You can do it right here on the South Shore. Stop by the Beale House and check out a performance. Best of luck.
Thank you,
Thank
Kevin.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
Thanks
us.
For
you
having
got it.
Us.
We're going to step aside. And when we come back, Whitman, there's more show. We will be back in just a few more moments. Don't go anywhere.
iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi.
McGuigan's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
What is AA?
Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of people who have had a drinking problem.
It is non-professional and self-supporting.
AA is multiracial, apolitical, and available almost everywhere.
There are no age or education requirements. Membership is open to anyone who wants to do something about their drinking problem.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD.
We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Okay, we have arrived at the final segment of Monday Night Talk. And this is a return effort with our guest. If anybody who listens to the show might be a fan of the show, we'll remember that in late 2019, we had a conversation about a Jubilate Chorale concert, and it was going to be the debut of their artistic director and conductor, Murray Kidd. He actually is, well, we all know that 2020, not a lot of things happened. So this is the second performance of the return of the Jubilate Chorale after a one-year hiatus because of a pandemic. And joining us is Mr. Murray Kidd. Murray, welcome back to the radio program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I have to tell you, it's funny, as and also joining us is Mr. Paul Watson. He is one of the members of the chorale. And Paul, I almost kind of feel like Paul is the he's got a lot of pride in the chorale, and it's almost like he is like their how can I say this? He likes to make sure that the word gets out. So he's the spreader of good word. And so he's like, hey, is there a chance that maybe we could do something? I said, sure. And Paul has been on in other facets as well as a guest. He loves the chorale. He's been on previously with the previous director and conductor. And so we returned. Oddly enough, Murray, it was 3 weeks ago. I actually had one of my memories. I have an iPhone. And it actually popped up a picture of the three of us. Actually, it might have been four of us. There was another gentleman who was with us, and we were all standing outside of WATD. So it's kind of ironic that we gather here this evening to talk about the return of the chorale.
Yeah, it was seems like such a long time ago, and it's been quite a journey to have us come back. The choir has been very excited to start singing again back in September. And it's every rehearsal has been just a lot of fun. People have really hit the ground running just because they couldn't sing for so long in a choral situation. And it's been just a real joy every Monday night showing up and doing beautiful music and being with friends and making wonderful sounds together.
And this is all geared towards a production that's going to be taking place later this week, Sunday, December 5th at 3 p.m. It's going to be taking place at the Christ Congregational Church, 1350 Pleasant Street in Brockton. The Jubilate Chorale presents A Winter Celtic Journey. Just so we can kind of get folks reacquainted with you, give folks a little bit of your background and your years as someone who has been a conductor and somebody who has been part of other chorales or other orchestras.
Sure. I started my professional career singing for professional choirs, Handel and Haydn Society of Boston, Boston Baroque, and did a lot of choral concerts with them, singing major works under some of the most amazing choral conductors in the world, and spent about 15 years doing that. Went to Europe a few times to partake in some of the most exclusive choral music festivals, not just choral festivals, but music festivals like BBC Proms, the All Beethoven Festival in Poland, the Edinburgh Festival, include also as well as Tanglewood and Ravinia here in the States. It's just been a wild ride. And after about 15 years, I started to conduct at the collegiate level at UMass Lowell. And shortly after that, I got a job in Melrose with Polymnia Choral Society and have been with them for, I think, well, it's tough to tell with the pandemic, but I think it's almost 15 years now I've been with them as their music director. and joined Yuba Latte, as you said, back in 2019. In addition to that, I conduct the high school at the high school level as well as middle school level. I'm currently the director of choral activities at Xaverian Brothers High School in Westwood, and I've had that position almost about the same time I got hired with Yuba Latte. And we're doing a concert coming up pretty soon as well. And it's been a lot of fun just getting to be able to sing again, and we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, what was talked about? I mean, hitting your stride. You know, you have your first concert, and then you know, March of 2020, kind of the world comes to a halt. What does that do? What does that do? What did that do to you? As far as you know, as a way to work, did you still find ways to connect with all of your members, whether it was with Xaverian Brothers or with Yuba Latte?
Yes, we tried to. Well, we had a few meetings where we didn't actually sing, because on Zoom you can't really sing because of the syncing up of sound. For Yuba Latte, we met for, I think, three times in the fall of 2020 to have what's, I think, what we called was Mondays with Murray. And so I presented some major works. I had recordings, and we took about an hour and a half, and I would play through the recordings, talk about the pieces, and just have a time where we could gather together and see each other's faces talk about choir music and choral concerts and beautiful music overall. And that lasted until about November. And I did the same with my other community choir as well. My school choirs, we couldn't sing at all. We were under the mandate of the state, and Massachusetts was very proactive about restricting singing as far as a super spreader event, which I think was a prudent and wise decision at the time. So we really had a hard time singing in person at the school level, but we tried to make do with general music topics and things like that. And it was a little bit on the disheartening side of things. It was at a time when we really wanted to sing, but we just couldn't. And so I'd say everybody that I know waited and waited and waited for that time where we could come together. Also, the time, about the time in November, I developed vocal nodes from many reasons. I think one of the bigger reasons was all the Zoom calls that I was having to do. And not being used to Zoom, if anybody's used to Zoom meetings, a lot of times we yell into the computer because we can't hear ourselves, and it's very taxing on the voice. I would assume a lot of you at home and probably present company probably spent a little bit of time going, oh my gosh, my voice is tired after a Zoom meeting, and here I'm only talking to a computer 18 inches away. And so that was a tough time for me. I had to spend about 3 months on vocal rest. So we had to discontinue that program with both my community choirs. It was definitely a tough time. Couple that with the fact that in the last year, both my parents passed away, not because of COVID, but for age-related technicalities or difficulties. And so it's been a tough year. So going back to singing has been a real balm of just soothing the soul, getting back into it. Because for that entire time, my identity, and I would assume a lot of people who sing regularly, our identities as singers was put on hold. And one of our major reasons, and I wouldn't say reasons for happiness, but certainly one of our outlets of joy and emotional release was stifled and muted for a very long time. And then you put on all the COVID restrictions and not seeing family and friends for such a long time. And it really was tough for a lot of singers in the singing community. And I know that from my professional communities, as well as, I mean, my colleagues, as well as those who I came in contact with as their mentor. It was difficult. So, and it continues to be difficult to a certain degree because we're not right at the point where we can and relax, but we're getting there and we're still able to sing in person. And that's the real nice thing. So even with a little bit of restrictions, with having to space out a little bit, or with us people who choose to mask, it's still being able to sing, and we're taking that as far as we can. And it's been wonderful.
And if you like it,
it's been a whole thing of kind of retuning your ear because you haven't sung with people for over a year. And that's been probably the hardest part for me, is getting my ears back working again, because they had a year's break there. And by the way, I got to tell you, Murray, that Monday with Murray's, I thought, was very enjoyable. It was a real bit of musical trivia that got float around through the group.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I enjoyed doing them. I thought they were a lot of fun. I was sad when I had to stop. But
And again, if you are just tuning in, jumping in was Paul Watson, who is part of the conversation. We are with Murray Kidd, who is the artistic director of Jubilate Chorale, and Paul Watson, who's a member of the chorale, as there's a little cross exchange here in regards to the Mondays with Murray, which sounds like it was a fantastic, at least something to get you through until you were able to return back to in person, start rehearsing. Paul, I'm going to go to you. What was it like the first couple of rehearsals? When did you get the word that there was going to be a production? And what were the first couple of rehearsals like for somebody who I know that you take a lot of great joy in being a part of this choral group?
Well, it was tough. I mean, you can sing along with the radio when you're in your car, but it's not quite the same thing. And as far as getting back, I had figured out, you know, even before August came along, that we would probably be singing because things had opened up so much. But we are rehearsing in a different space than we are used to, and my ear needed that point to come together, and I'm still trying to get it all back again. It takes a while, you know, when you don't use a muscle for a long time, you have to kind of bring it back into tune again, into tone.
Or is that something a lot of your choral members with Jubilate are saying, or is it, you know, here and there you have certain members who are saying it's my ear isn't there just yet?
Well, yes, to a certain degree, it's been an adjustment to come back after so long. However, Paul, I think, is selling himself short a little bit. And as far as the what's really happening from my point of view, who is hearing the choir, it might be taking several people, if not maybe most of the choir, a little bit of an adjustment period. But let me tell you, it still sounds amazing. And so it might be a little bit kind of getting your sea legs again. But those muscles are still there, but it just might not feel as comfortable as it once did. And again, from my point of view, and I say this to the choir every week, they sound amazing. Even when they're not fully confident with a piece of music, like early on, the sounds that they make are just gorgeous. And my ear muscles have been soothed so much every Monday by just hearing all these beautiful tones coming through, and the blend of the choir, and just the sheer beauty of the music.
My understanding is that we have a couple of snippets of some pieces, just so we can kind of tease the music lover's palate, so to speak, as to what they can expect from an experience from the Jubilate Chorale. Would that be okay, Murray?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of picked the first one just because of the name of it. Since the chorale is Jubilate Chorale, the name of the piece is Jubilate Deo. And anybody who was in a liturgical church knows that's one of the canticles, and it starts off with, "They'll be joyful in the Lord." So we'll put a little bit of that up there, and here it comes in as people are getting ready to sing. This is from the live concert, the last one we did
back in 2019.
2019.
Fantastic.
And Sylvia Barry's playing organ.
Snippet from that one, and I have another little snippet here from Benjamin Britten's Ceremony of Carols. This is like the processional piece from that. In the concert, we actually marched in while the instruments were playing.
Tuned in to Monday Night Talk with a couple of samplings of the Jubilate Chorale and Paul Watson on the sharing some audio with us and Murray Kidd, artistic director. So Murray, getting ready to plan out this particular show, your first one in nearly 2 years. What was it like? Was it an easier task than you thought? Or was it a matter of, what selections would fit best?
Well, I wanted to choose a program that would be user-friendly and kind of get us back into melodic singing again, which doesn't mean we're not singing harmonies, but just getting used to being back, as Paul said, kind of getting the muscles going again. So I picked a body of work all based on Celtic themes and Celtic music, mainly because of the use of melody in these tunes. They're folk based, so the melody is the key focus of each and every song. And a lot of these melodies are beloved and memorable, and most people will recognize, I'd say, at least half the program as far as the central melody of each piece, like Suo Gan and Now We Sing of Christmas. We are doing an arrangement of Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming, and Auld Lang Syne, Molly Malone, just a lot of tunes that are known. And so that the choir could get back together and kind of focus on that unison for a while before we break into our part singing. And it's just been a joy to do that. And hearing these tunes that are so beautiful and have a tremendous history in a lot of our lives. I know, just speaking for myself, Molly Malone was a song that I sang to my sons almost every night. And it's just something that I really enjoy the tune of it, the ease of singing, and a lot of the tunes in here are just like that. They have just they pull at our heartstrings, they pull at our emotions, and so that's one of the reasons I chose this program.
I would ask you, Paul, what were your thoughts as to when you're being shared these pieces? Are these pieces that you've done time and time again, or were there some new pieces in there? You're like, oh, hey, this is something new, and it's going to present a challenge, but I look forward to it.
Well, they all kind of present a challenge because the songs are familiar, but sometimes it's got a completely different setting to it.
Right.
So you're singing words that you know fairly well with music that you don't know really at all. As a matter of fact, to go to the extreme, we're doing one song that's actually in Gaelic. And that has presented, you know, some issues with just getting the pronunciations down, because the way Gaelic is spelled out doesn't necessarily correspond with the way English is spelled out. And the pronunciations can be very different.
But was that, would you say that the challenge has been a fun one, in knowing that this, when this is all pulled together, that this is going to be something that the audience is going to be thrilled with?
Oh, I think so. You know, that this area down here has an awful lot of folks whose roots go back into Ireland and Scotland and Wales and Cornwall and the other Gaelic and Celtic places over there. And that even came over to, you know, the islands off the coast of France. They are from France. So we actually have a French one we're doing, too. So it's quite a selection of pieces, and actually we're doing one that doesn't really have any real words to it. It's kind of like Irish scat. They call it lilting.
And if you are just tuning in, we're teasing a little bit about a Celtic Christmas. Actually, it's Jubilate Chorale presents a winter Celtic journey. This, of course, is... your conductor is Murray Kitty, also is the artistic director. And we have, is it James Hay, who's going to be the principal pianist? Is that correct?
Yes.
So knowing that we have a few minutes left here in the radio program, how would you like to direct folks? Again, this is going to be something that's going to be taking place this coming Sunday. What do you want to give them for directions as far as ticket sales, if they want to get tickets? And as far as what protocols are being followed because of COVID?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So tickets can be purchased at the door. We're not selling tickets online this year, but tickets can be at the door. Paul, can you help me out with the prices?
I believe it's prices at the door, $22 or something like that, if I remember right.
If I can, I actually have documentation in front of me. if it helps you, tickets $20 for adults, $15 for seniors and students, and they can always go to jubilatesings.org for more information.
Yes,
and if you know any members of the choir, you can get tickets from them too.
Okay, yes, that's correct. Sorry about that. And then as far as protocols. Those who are in attendance will be required to mask. The choir has been vetted as far as vaccination. And so the choir will be singing without masks. But because of the way Christ Congregational Church is designed, there will be a decent distance that we're able to keep from the audience, which will be helpful as far as that's concerned. And if you know Christ Congregational Church, the acoustics are amazing, and it doesn't matter how far away you are from any source of sound in that place. It sounds like it's right in your lap. It's absolutely an amazing space to sing. So we're really thrilled for that. But those are the protocols we've been taking, and knock wood, we've been safe ever since the beginning of the year. So,
Paul, any closing words from you, sir?
Well, I'd just say come and see the concert. You'll enjoy it. The only other protocol for those who are longtime concert goers is the fact that there will be no cookies and Kool-Aid afterwards.
Oh.
You know, and as far as singing without the mask, if we tried to sing with the masks, it would turn into a jumbled mess, I think, because the masks do suppress a lot of the higher-end frequencies. And that's important, especially when you're soprano singing. You want people to know what you're singing.
Correct. Yes, the masks do kind of get in the way of that. But like I said, we're spaced out enough, and the space is big enough that it will be a safe place.
Yeah, and acoustically, it's designed so it pushes the sound right towards the audience area.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And Murray, anything you want to say in closing? And I believe that we actually have a little small piece to help lead us out of the radio program this evening. Anything you would like to say in closing to a prospective audience members who are probably anticipating this great show?
Yes. Well, if you've been wanting to go to a concert and haven't really been able to, or even if you've been able to get to concerts, this is the one for you. It's really a user-friendly concert. It's going to be beautiful songs, beautiful melodies. You'll be humming along well after you leave the doors of the concert. And so we welcome you back to concert going. We welcome you back to Yuba Latte, and we hope to see you.
Murray, Paul, I want to thank you both for coming in and giving a little bit of a preview of this coming weekend's show. Again, a Winter Celtic Journey. This coming Sunday, 3 p.m., it's more or less a matinee. Tickets are $20 for adults, $15 for seniors and students. YubaLatteSings.org if you want more information, being led by Murray Kidd, conductor and artistic director. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being here this evening, and I want to thank my audience for being here as well. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., enjoy this bat melody.
McGuigan's Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD. Streaming online at 959WATD.com. And with your
sponsored by Dell Small Business. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Nations around the world are trying to keep the new COVID variant, Omicron, at bay. CBS's Errol Barnett with the latest.
President Biden said it is inevitable that the Omicron variant will reach the U.S. and pledged to fight it with science and speed while appealing for calm.
This variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. If people are vaccinated and wear their masks, there's no need for lockdown.